Not good. We go that one. That one.
Recording in progress.
All right. All right. Welcome to the Labor Beat Radio Show, broadcasting on Enlightened Radio at enlightenedradio.org and player.enlightenedradio.org. You can also find about 1,000 podcasts.
Yes, now.
1,000 podcasts now on podcast.enlightenedradio.org, including, you know, 7 years worth of the storytelling program with Fanny Crawford. Anyway, so welcome this morning. We're expecting, in addition to my good co-host friends here as J.B. Christensen and Scott Marshall, expecting Christopher Wolfer to call in and from representing a bunch of state employees that apparently are switching from the UE to something else, but we'll see what happens with that. Anyway, on the headlines, I just thought we ought to, I did this before, but on tape here, that in Shepherdstown last night, we went to a major event that's standing room only at the Shepherd University Frank Center with a former Congressman, Beto O'Rourke, and who did a very charismatic presentation. Oh, here comes our, here comes Chris. Hello, Chris.
Oh, hello, John. How are you?
Okay. Well, you can't hear everybody on the phone. You can't see them because you're coming in by phone today. But John Case, myself, and my good friend Scott Marshall from Steelworkers in Chicago, and my longtime left-wing buddy, J.B. Christensen, who might be at spring training in Florida. You know, they need some pitching staff on the Nationals, so maybe he's going to try out. Anyway, and welcome. And Chris, who has been a long time active on behalf of state employees in West Virginia, and I'm going to have him refresh us about some of that history, because I understand it's undergoing some change or has undergone some change. And I was just saying before we got started, Chris, that you know, I was trying to imagine what it must be like for a state employees now working for what the current legislature government situation in Charleston is, and it just, it's all of a sudden difficult to really imagine. And so I can imagine that whatever you're going to tell us, there's been some really serious challenges for the people working for the state. So, Chris, why don't you update us on the status? I don't know what the status of your local was and or is, and what's going on. Okay, thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me. We've been pretty much active as an organization since 2006. Is organized as West Virginia Public Workers Union. And in 2007, they had affiliated with the United Electrical Radio Machine Workers. And this is when I was on military leave. And then I came back 2010, I had joined as a member, and things were going rather well. And then a couple years ago, of course, we had a supermajority come into the legislature.
Right.
And so not only a Republican, but it was just anti-labor. It was almost like the Koch brothers had financed everybody who was elected to office. And you saw draconian laws being passed, one in particular, which hurt all public workers, including the teachers and school service personnel, was the dues deduction. They made it illegal for union dues to come out of the paychecks of public workers. And that hurt all these unions, including ours. And I think to the point now where the two teachers unions, WVEA and the AFT of West Virginia, are talking about merging. And I think the school service personnel had to come in with the mine workers in sort of an agreement. And because of the loss of membership and the finances, it's hurt us as well. And we went from about 1,200 members to about 300. And unfortunately, because of that, we made a decision to withdraw a paid staffer, organizer. And at the same time, we were expected to pay per cap, and that was not going to work out very well. So we made a decision to withdraw. And so we're now on this, we're on this battle alone, and trying to recruit members in state government. But it's been very difficult with this legislature, and they've been attacking our grievance procedure as well, which makes extremely difficult for someone who's a state worker and volunteers as a steward to handle grievances if you're limited to handling five per year.
Right.
So it's as though the American Legislative Exchange Council had put out, cranked out these templates for all these state legislatures across the country. And we're seeing attacks. The state of Iowa had collective bargaining for their state workers, and now that's gone. And so they're facing a lot of the same things we had. We've never had collective bargaining here.
Right.
So
right.
That shock, we've been spared that shock. So
let me ask you a question. All these attacks on the state workers, or at least and mounting challenges, what impact is that having on the services and the basic competency of the state in delivering, life-sustaining services in many cases?
Well, the one good thing about having a good union was that you're able to have some checks and balances with state power, and you're able to have some check on some of the patronage and some of the deals that go on out of public sight, all the patronage, politicians and contractors, that sort of thing.
Right.
Because workers are in a position to know what's going on. And I think so that has quite a bit to do with it. There's probably a number of issues that
you mean increased?
To, I don't know.
You mean increased corruption without the input of the employees? I mean,
yes.
A more corrupt thing. So that's probably true.
I think misuse of COVID money coming in different parts of the state by different agencies and the contracting process, and it continues. It's some of the same old story. We won't have as much of the ability to try to expose this, in a weakened state beforehand. So
now that raises another JB. For example, the kind of things that Chris is saying about, the impact of not having a worker's voice, the employee's voice in these processes, leading to, you would think that Center for Budget and Policy in West Virginia, for example, would be able to quantify, some of this, the costs, right, of hidden deals and things like that. It would be an interesting way for the stories that public workers actually know, to come in and get themselves newsworthy and provide leverage. Am I wrong? Is there any way we could help do that? JB, you're the one that's tight with all the people at Budget and Policy.
Yeah, Could you repeat the
Well, the question was is whether we could get them involved. See, like, for instance, Chris was just laying out a number of ways in which, you know, not having the grievance seizures, not having collective bargaining, not having input from the in-state employees is going to make it much easier for corrupt practices to be proliferated, okay? And this just happens naturally anyway, unless someone shines a light on it, okay? So that ought to be... It ought to be possible for if a number of those stories were available and the researchers at West Virginia Budget and Policy, I'll bet they could figure out a way to put a cost on that, you know? And then that, you know, now you have not just an individual story, but, you know, an actual, you're being robbed, public, you're being robbed, you know, by the absence of this voice. And I think that's a good argument to make in politics. People don't like to be robbed.
I don't know. No. I mean, the whole purpose of a union is to bring benefits and wages and discussion to the membership. You know, let them have a say in how their working conditions are regulated and how they get compensated. And also the policies. The policies that they have to work under. So, you know, budget and policy would probably be able to talk about the economics of it. But, I mean, in West Virginia, you don't have collective bargaining rights. So, you don't have that. You don't have that in West Virginia. And that's unfortunate. But when you look across the country, very few places have it, you know, for public employees. How many? I mean, you could probably count it on one hand. How many states have bargaining rights for public employees?
I think you might need more than one hand.
I hope so. I mean, I hope it's several.
I don't have an exact number in my head, but somehow I...
No, well, Scott might know. Scott might have it.
Plus, California would make up for all the other states combined, you know, so...
That's true. That's true. And, you know, everybody follows California, but they're not sure when. You know, like West Virginia,
right.
West Virginia's got a long time to catch up to California.
Well, you know, then there's the tectonic aspect that California may just head out to sea, you know, so, hard to tell. Well, Chris, so how do you, in the short term, I mean, if a movement was to develop among because there's public employees in every sector. What you're talking about, what the teachers are talking about. Mm-hmm. I heard a rep from the mine workers saying, since they're representing a school and I think some prison employees too, that same thing, just unbelievable inattention and just negligence on the part of the state officials. So maybe it's time for a movement, you know, of public employees that could start to gain a little bit more glue. Because there's a lot of people, you know, and maybe and then at the appropriate time, strategically positioned, it turns out there's a holiday that has to be held to deal with it.
I think
that we would call.
The movement would be far greater or far better than just doing grievances. Individual grievances, and that's what we're faced with now. And I think some of the others are as well. And
right.
The school board, I think something draconian would probably have to happen to get people to, you know, lose their fear and become angry enough to want to mobilize and organize like they did back in the 1930s. Something like along those nature. Right now, I just like people are sort of immobilized, you know, out of fear, maybe uncertainty. And you can do so much to a person before they snap. And I don't think we're there yet, but at that point, but I think we're approaching it.
But of course, sometimes snap means, you know, quit. No. And but I, you know, one of the things I feel about the public workers is probably the one, the place, if you're going to set write new law about the role of unions and their role in defending the public interest, not just themselves, but the public interest, public unions are the place where those changes could, should be made. Even though it's not the usual Ford sit-down strike kind of situation of 1937 against a growing monopoly employer. When you're at the state, you have to, you can't strike just for yourself. You have to strike for the people you serve too. You have to, or you seldom will win. But if you win under those terms, man, you're coming close to winning the whole ball of wax, as Jim Matlis used to say. Yeah, serious. I'm sorry. I meant to mean to run on.
Yes, yeah. For the whole working class, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you something, Chris. You know, all around the country, you're seeing all these young workers getting involved, you know, these new organizing drives, Amazon, Starbucks, all of that kind of stuff. And you're also seeing a huge amount of coalition building with community organizations and churches and all kinds of stuff like that going on. Is that being reflected in West Virginia? Are you seeing some of that?
I haven't seen too much in the way of the, like the Starbucks and those little things. At least it hasn't been reported in the news, and it's small enough around here that, I mean, you could pick up on something if that was to, you know, to go on. As far as the community and some of the coalition stuff working with labor, I don't see a whole lot of that, you know, other than perhaps maybe some in Charleston. There might be maybe Morgantown, but the other parts of the state, I don't see much of it going on.
Let me ask another question here that's we just had, I think we talked about this a little bit last week, almost 2,000 layoffs in West Virginia, I think in the temp industry and in manufacturing at the Weirton, they call it a tin mill, right? They make tin. And, you know, at the same time, the Supreme Court has just said they're not going to disqualify Trump on anything, anywhere. Uh-huh. And so there's going to be a presidential campaign that's going to be probably unlike any we've ever seen. My question is whether I have some doubt as to whether we're going to make it to the election, to be truthful, because the opposing forces are pretty profound. And even within labor, where you keep trying to get to bread and butter issues to try and, you know, keep the thing together, because if we don't have solidarity, we have nothing. On the other hand, it's tough to figure out what kind of stance to take here now. And I just wondered, each of you, what your reactions were to this, what's coming, as far as we're given to see what's coming.
Well, all this, for me, it makes me wonder if there isn't such a thing as a deep state, that it seems to be going at lengths to a proposed candidate off the ballot. I'm not saying that he's a big friend of labor by any chance, any stretch of the word. But I have to agree that this is unlike anything that, you know, I've seen, or probably most people have seen in this country. So if the back and forth on this as we go towards election, I think, who knows, you know, with the what they call the lawfare being sort of dismissed now by the Supreme Court,
what other tactics will be coming into play, you know, if it'll be, you know, violence or what. You know.
Yeah, that makes you wonder, that's for sure. What do you ask? Anybody else? It's a big deal. you know, the media has been going on for months, you know, prosecuting 99 indictments, all these other things, you know. How many people with 99 indictments would not be already in jail? And it, the whole drama goes on. I mean, blah, 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 blah. And here we are.
It's like an unknown territory we're in. So.
Yeah. It's going to, I don't see how it's going to make everything in the political arena unstable. You know, because people are going to become even more fearsome about where it's going. You can see this, I think you're going to see this both on Wall Street and Main Street. You know, it's a very, very difficult to predict.
I would argue that it's already unstable. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's nuts. You got two different conversations going at the same time that are opposite. And I mean, the guy on the other end is a babbling moron, you know, and I mean, how can you defend that? The Supreme Court up, you know, didn't do their job, you know, as far as this disqualifying him from being on the ballot in Colorado. You know, it's a crazy world. I mean, we were on the trolley to the beach, you know, they had, in Clearwater here, you take a trolley, park for free, and then take a trolley across the causeway to the beach. And we got in an argument with the lady that was driving the trolley. You know, she was a MAGA, and she said, "Oh, I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent." And you know, it was all the way across. It was an argument about, you know, stealing the election and the Biden crime family, and I mean, we heard the whole gamut. And this was just a lady that was driving the trolley. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Campaigning on a company time.
In Florida, you would expect that.
Well. Anybody have, I don't see any alternative, but to have, encourage people to, who are not sure about any of the leadership at the top of the, of our country, you have to take action. And now that was one message that Mr. O'Rourke said last night that I completely agree with. That if you want to change the terrain and the choices, yet people have to get in motion, and the struggle has to become widespread and physical. I mean, people, you have to get off your ass. You can't just do it by clicking likes on Facebook. And you got to shut things down. You got it right. And if political paralysis is there, because, you know, you have to shut those guys down to get everybody's attention. Okay, and look, this can't continue. Go ahead.
I really think that what we're talking about is happening. I mean, I see incredible motion, and you know, we're already training people. Of course, it's Illinois. I know that, but. But the whole union is already setting up classes to teach people how to door knock, how to get out to vote, how to go and talk to people about the issues and that kind of stuff. And that's happening throughout the labor movement. And that's happening in all kinds of different organizations that are allied now with the labor movement. And I think that's an incredible movement. I really think that we're going to beat Trump.
Well, you have to beat him, but he's not going to recognize the result.
Well,
and then what do you do? Do we do this all again?
Well, I don't know. Hopefully he'll be in jail by then. You know, some of my friends say, well, I hope he gets the death penalty. And I say, no, 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 no. I don't want him to get the death penalty. What I want him to get is life in prison without parole in a crowded jail cell.
That, so that sounds like you think like. He might be abused. Wow. Oh, dear. I don't know. We'll have to ask the prisoners' union. I mean, the jail workers' union about that one, you know, what might happen. I don't predict it'll happen. You know, in history, that's not the way they solve this problem.
Yeah.
I don't know that it has it ever been solved this way? No. I don't think so. that's the rub, you know, really is.
Well, we always try to be first.
Yeah, right. We do. We're the greatest. That's right. Make America great again. Good Lord. Chris, I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And I think you've inspired me a little bit. I think we're going to have to get the mojo working here in the West Virginia labor movement. I think people are open to it. You know, everybody is frustrated. You know, and there's not much more backing up that we can do without getting their ass kicked from both sides. I don't know what the right metaphor is, but it's wonderful. Let us know if there's any way we can help out. We'll publicize this podcast on Labor Beat Radio, among other places, on JB's Facebook blog there. Give us a closing remark, okay, or a prediction, prophecy, okay. Whatever you got there.
Well, if there are any public workers, I'd like to encourage them to go to our website, and that's WVPW for West Virginia Public Workers. It says WVPW170.org.
Okay. WVPW.org?
It's
WVPW170.org. Okay. All right. Good. Well, I'll include that on the podcast post. Okay.
Okay. I thank you very much for
all right, buddy.
Inviting me
all right.
on.
All right. Take all care. Right. Well, that's about all right. our. 30-minute program. That's pretty good for a podcast. Anybody else got some last words? Scott, JB?
Well, that Supreme Court decision, we've been talking about it quite a bit down here in Florida. My buddy Chris, I think you've met Chris before, John.
Yeah.
He's an old MEBA guy.
Yes, I have.
He thinks that ruling – it's got a double-edged sword in that they allowed Trump to be on the ballot, but the other part of it is, and the other part of the 14th Amendment is, he's not allowed to serve. If he wins, he can't serve.
We'll
Did
see
you know
that?
That?
Well, I heard that argument from Mike before and from Mr. Bill, but I would discount the odds of that heavily. If he gets elected, he'll serve.
Because that was a unanimous decision, correct?
Yeah, well, if he gets elected.
I think the dissenters realize that's the other part of it. Of course, they can recognize any part of it that they want. And it was obvious when they went for Section 5 where they were going, you know, kicking it back to Congress.
Yeah.
Right. That was an obvious,
Yeah. Well, that was going to happen. I mean, that was, I call that was a Joe Sims prediction from day one. I couldn't argue with him. So, I mean, he appointed half of them and it's true. There is some truth to the fact that, there's a reason why it's basically Congress's responsibility to get rid of a president that has gone awry. And they didn't do it.
No, they didn't.
And
they
so you're going to go ask a judge, you know, to disqualify an elected president. You know, he's, what are you going to do? I mean, no matter what happened, if they had decided to disqualify him, Trump's movement would have multiplied.
Yeah.
You know, and now you got to call out the troops to put the thing down, and hopefully all of them would be loyal. You know, so.
Well, hey, Scott, I'm really happy about the fact that you guys are doing all that grassroots organizing and door knocking and all that kind of stuff. That's great. I'd love to see that in the Eastern Panhandle. Right. So far, I haven't seen it. Maybe something will develop later on. But I think door knocking and all that stuff, you know, being involved, being active, that's going to make or break this whole thing. I mean, when I went to get my license or my registration for my new car the other day, I was coming out of the DMV there on Route 9 outside of Hedgesville. Yeah. And there was one old Trump guy, you know, sitting in a chair with the Trump flag, you know, right outside the DMV, you know. And yeah. I had to laugh. You know, it was just one guy. But, hey, he got visibility. You know how many people go to the DMV, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure he got a lot of people honking their horns and, you know, giving him the thumbs up. You know what I gave him.
Yes.
You know what I gave him.
Yes. Yes.
Action speaks louder than words, right?
Yeah.
We've been told that since we were born. And we have to show it. If we really want to save this country and save the world, then we're going to have to get active, you know, and we have to train our kids to do this at an early age. And that's why it's important that we have public employees unions, we have teachers unions, you know, all these things are important to build the foundation for these kids to stay active into the future. I mean, we're going to be active until we die, you know.
Yeah,
we're going to be out there fighting till the very end. That's just our nature. Right. But we have to teach the kids to do that, too.
But we got to be careful because we can't leave Scott in a trench because his wife doesn't think he's going to be able to climb out.
I'm not going to tell Bobby that one.
Anyway. That might be okay. a good one to end on.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. All right, everybody. Talk to you next week. Take care, everybody. It's late.
Take care.
Everything.
Say.
Everything comes next. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Recording stopped.